The time has come for us to end this hellscape of a year, but also talk about the best pop culture as we decide the best of 2020, because this Geek History Lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason 2020 Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or list from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour, except this week because it's our last episode of the year.
Yeah, and it's a list episode. A lot of people, I've seen... at the end of the year, we asked a bunch of our Geek History Lesson Twitter people... Is there a name for people on Twitter?
Followers?
Twitter followers? Peeps?
Tweeps?
Tweeps? We asked our lovely followers over there on Twitter. We were like, hey, what were some of the episodes you liked this year? And a lot of people, I was very pleasantly surprised to find that they liked our list episodes.
Yeah.
They really liked our list episodes. But before we get to that list and before we talk about 2020, we got to talk about a little bit of something that's coming in 2021. So you may or may not know this if you've been following my newsletter over at jasoninman.com. You've been following over at the Patreon at patreon.com/Jawan. You know, I got a new comic book coming out called Super Best Friend. That's right. It is my version of my Superman story, based around my Superman analog character called Captain Terrific and his best pal and sidekick, Matty Moore. What if Matty Moore, the best friend to the best superhero in the world, live streamed his best friend adventures? And what shenanigans would that cause? Well, you can find out when you read my new comic book drawn by the amazing George Kambadias and written by myself with some covers by some amazing people over at Kickstarter. Right now, fingers crossed, if everything goes right, it's going to happen January 19th in 2021. And the easiest way to learn about it is to go over to Kickstarter, search for my profile, Jason Inman, and get that notification, because as soon as I put that project up, you'll get it. And there's some amazing variant. I have a variant cover, because this will be my first single issue comic book going to Kickstarter. I have a variant cover, Ashley, from somebody that drew Superman.
Oh, I know.
You know, Ashley.
I know.
Ashley knows who it is.
I do.
And when this gentleman said, hey, I'd do a cover for this, it blew me away, because I've been a fan of his for years. And to be honest with you, it's a good hope. I'm hoping we can get him on the podcast in 2021 as well, because he will blow your mind.
I would also hope for that.
Yes. But go check that out. Super Best Friend coming to Kickstarter. Enough of 2021. We got to think about 2020.
We do.
Yes. All right. So, Ashley, of course, as always, we've done this 3 or 4 times.
We've done this. This will be the sixth time.
The sixth time?
Yeah, we've done
this. Have we done it every single
year? Every year, yeah.
We have? Okay.
Yeah, so this is the sixth one.
All right, so this is the best of 2020. We have a bunch of categories. Ashley, would you go through the categories that we were doing for our audience?
Yeah, so our categories are comic book, movie. That was a more recent addition in the last couple of years. Television, prose books, podcasts, and then starting either last year or the year before, Geek History Lesson episode. So which of our own episodes we liked the most from the past year.
That one was requested by the excellent listeners of the Mind University,
yes,
actually, which kind of surprises. We're not that arrogant.
No.
We didn't put that one on there.
No.
Okay. So, of course, this is the best of 2020. This is our opinion. This is not the objective best, but what we liked the best from the year.
I also want to state that anything that we pick is something our friends did not work on. So if our friends worked on them, then they are going in our also-rans. They are our suggestions. So for podcasts, you're not going to get any major spoilers. You're not going to get any frog pants. You're not going to get any smodcast, because we love all of our friends equally and we do not pit them against each other.
I forgot about that rule. I just double-checked and I did it right.
Good.
Woo! I was really worried. I was a little worried. I completely forgot about the rule.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, if you guys want to do your lists, send them to us to social media. Ashley, where can they do that?
On Twitter at GHL Podcast, at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Patreon. Just go ahead and reply to this post, which you're getting before everyone else in the world.
That's correct. All right, let's jump into the first category, then. That is comics. Now, the rule that we have about comics is that it had to have published at least 2 issues in 2020, in the year we are talking about. Now, of course, it's a graphic novel. It was published. So, Ashley, I'm very curious. comics had a very interesting year. Comics was shut down for about 4 months mm-hmm. in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't mean digital comics didn't still happen. Webtoons didn't happen. What is your best comic of 2020?
Well, if I can't say Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio, which is the all-consuming comic of my 2020, please go buy a signed copy from jasonimmitt.com/store, or if you already bought it or supported the Kickstarter, thank you. I actually went and consulted several other lists
the
when
sages?
I was compiling the muses. I consulted the muses. And because I forgot what time is, I think, like so many people this year. And I actually forgot that this book, the first series wrapped up this year and the collection came out. And it is inarguably one of the best comics I have ever read. And that is Second Coming, written by Mark Russell, who is somebody who I admire and who I geeked out very hard on when I met at New York Comic Con.
I forgot that wrapped up this year.
Right? And the book came out this year, and I read this right at the beginning of the pandemic. So if you're not familiar with Second Coming, the Amazon description is that God commands Earth's mightiest superhero, Sunstar, he's another Superman analog, to accept Jesus as his roommate and teach him how to use power more forcefully. Jesus, shocked at the way humans have twisted his message over two millennia, vows to straighten them out. I loved this book because not only is it great comics and does it comment and explores the condition of being a superhero, but the lens that it takes through Christianity and through spirituality, you can tell that these themes are something that Mark Russell has been thinking about and grappling with and finessing for, if not his entire life, his entire adult life. And you can tell that even though he probably spent the last couple of years making the comic itself, this has been a long time coming. And I think everything from the jokes of the way that Jesus gets arrested for being a vagrant and starting a peaceful protest to the question of is Sunstar acceptable as the moral center of the superhero universe, it's just perfection. I can't recommend Second Coming enough, and I'm so thrilled that the second volume actually just started publishing single issues.
Yeah, I did.
I think comics can be a medium where you can tackle things that you can't necessarily more as gracefully in more quote-unquote mainstream media, and I think this comic is a absolute perfect example of it. So when I realized that this had wrapped up and the trade had come out this year, there was no question for me that Second Coming was going to be my best
it's
of
so crazy.
2020.
It's so crazy when you think about Second Coming, because Second Coming, for a long time, it was originally supposed to be a Vertigo book.
And then Vertigo backed off.
And then Vertigo got scared of it.
And then big shout out to Ahoy for picking it up and bringing it to the world.
Ahoy has become a very interesting company.
I'm going to say this. I think Ahoy has eclipsed some other indie publishers in terms of being, they are putting out some of the most exciting, mm-hmm. quote unquote, dangerous.
Well,
edgy.
Also, and I include another one that I think would be well talked about best comic of 2020 or in the contention is Mark Russell's other book, Billionaire Island, which was also excellent.
I do want to say Billionaire Island, especially for those of us who are really looking forward to stimulus checks coming. That title might be off-putting, but I encourage you to check it out as well because it is full of satire and commentary. But yeah, Ahoy is doing cool stuff, and Second Coming, I think, is probably their premier book right now.
Yeah,
so.
Second Coming was great.
Jason, what
I think I put you onto that, right?
Well, we are like unapologetic Mark Russell fans here on the show.
Mark Russell is one of the best comic book writers out there. No doubt.
An underrated genius. And you had bought the collection and you read it first. And then you were like, you have to read this. And then I finally got around to reading it this year. So if your choice isn't Second Coming, Jason, then what could your choice possibly be?
My choice is a book that when it was announced, I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And
always a delight when that happens.
I read this book. This is a graphic novel. I read this book right in the middle of the pandemic, like right when we first knew that
March, April,
actually June, July.
Oh, okay.
So like about the midpoint of like where we were like, oh, this is not going away. Like we're not going back to work anytime soon. And that is Superman Smashes the Klan by Jean Luen Yang, Guhiro, and Janice Chang.
I knew this was going to be your choice.
Yeah. The synopsis. The year is 1946, and the Lee family has moved from Chinatown to downtown Metropolis. While Dr. Lee is eager to begin his new position at the Metropolis Health Department, his two kids, Roberta and Tommy, are more excited about being closer to the famous superhero, Superman. So, it's very interesting because if you don't know the story behind this, Superman Smashes the Klan is based on the Superman radio serial of Superman versus the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. And it was basically this idea of back in the 40s, this guy found out all the secret handshakes and all the secret symbols and all the secret meeting places of the Ku Klux Klan. And I don't remember all the details correctly, but I want to say that he went to a lot of the big newspapers and were like, let's publish this. Let's out them. And they all turned him down. And then for some reason, he pitched the producers of the Superman radio serial to be like, what if Superman just like gives out all the secrets? Mm-hmm. And they did it.
Yeah, because comics are subversive. Yeah, and comics are political.
Yes, yeah. And comics have always been political.
Yeah.
And the fact that like this story exists, I honestly thought this book was just going to be like a recounting of that story, but it's not. Jean Yang introduces these characters, Roberta and Tommy, who are Asian, and a lot of this story is about like they become friends with Jimmy Olsen, but then they move into the neighborhood and the neighborhood white kids don't like them, but then the Ku Klux Klan is around Metropolis and the Ku Klux Klan starts targeting their family because they're the one non-white family mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. And then it's interesting about Superman, and then I just got to tell you, there's an amazing moment. I do not want to spoil it away, but Superman gives Roberta, the young girl, the young daughter.
She has my favorite character and color composition yep. of everyone in the book.
Superman gives her an item. I'm not going to spoil what that item mm-hmm. is, but she takes it and puts it on her jacket, and it's like the cutest jacket that I've seen in comic books, next to Jonathan Kent's really cool Jorge Jimenez design jacket that I've seen in comic books in a long time. I'm going to be honest with you. This book made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not often that a comic book does this. When you get to the ending and you see how the kids, Roberta and Tommy, have helped Superman, how they've helped Jimmy, and Lois Lane is cute as a button in this book. This book to me was like, this is exactly what Superman should be doing in 2020. This is exactly the type of stories we should be telling with Superman in 2020, because I'm a big believer of Superman the way he was originally envisioned. He is a social warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Go read the first 20 issues of Action Comics, my friends.
Or listen to our Superman the Golden Age
exactly.
episode taught by Jason.
Exactly. Superman fought politicians and he helped people on the street. And this story reminded me of that of every beat. Superman Smashes the Klan. Probably the best Superman story of the last 5 years. No doubt.
If I can add two things.
Yes.
If people read this or have read this and they agree with me that Jean Yang should just write Superman.
I agree.
Highly recommend.
And
this is no disrespect to the new team coming in on Superman or anything like that. I just think he's a genius. He did the new Superman, the Superman of China storyline. Yep. When Rebirth began, I'd recommend going and checking that out. And also, I don't know if you remember this, Jason, but you were very vocal about your love of this book when it first came out. And lot of our listeners and followers actually read it on your recommendation.
Ah.
And I remember David Skelton, another LA County friend, talking about reading this with his tiny humans and how much he loved it.
This would be a perfect Superman book to give to your kids or to even your wife or to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't like Superman, this is the book that would convince them mm-hmm. to like him. I want to follow up your points. Jean Yang actually is writing a Superman book. He was just announced for, at the time of this recording, for Batman Superman.
But he's not writing Superman or Action Comics.
Yeah.
That's more...
Well, actually, he's already written them. He wrote them like 4 years ago. He was the one that did the storyline where his identity came out the first time.
You're right. My mistake.
But you are correct.
But he's never had a long run.
I also at the time of this recording, they had just announced Philip Kennedy Johnson as the...
Who's going to crush it.
Who's also a friend of the podcast.
Yes.
And a very excellent writer. He's going to crush it.
Yeah.
It's very funny, by the way. This is going to really time date this podcast, but at the time of this recording, Philip Kennedy Johnson was just announced for writing Superman in Action, and then he was also just announced over at Marvel for writing Aliens. So I think we could do a conspiracy theory that Philip Kennedy Johnson might be an alien. He might be an
Shout
alien.
Shout out to your reps for negotiating those contracts.
We always do honorable mentions, Ashley. What are some honorable mentions that almost made into your best comic
of 2020?
Besides Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radios.
Of course.
Shameless plug.
Of these have people that we know working on them. So that's why I didn't want to include them as good job. Best of. But definitely all Black Magic, always Black Magic. Black Magic Volume 3 came out this year. It's so good. It's my favorite book at Image ever.
Nicholas Scott, Greg Rucka.
Yeah, so freaking good. Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen by Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber.
Yeah, amazing, great beautiful book.
It almost made my list.
Teen Titans Beast Boy, which follows up Teen Titans mm-hmm. Raven. That's a DC Kids book. I freaking love it so much. X-Men, the ongoing Jonathan Hickman series, I think has been very exciting. Killadelphia over at Image Comics. Not a book that I thought I was going to be interested in, and then it made a bunch of lists, so I checked it out. Really, really good. Dragon Hoops, Far Sector.
I didn't get a chance to read Dragon Hoops.
It is cute as all get out.
That's Gene Yang's other book.
It is. Yeah. That's his indie book. Sandman.
He had two. That book made a lot of other people's best comics lists.
It's a great book, and I'm not even super into basketball. It's very, very good. Sandman the Dreaming, shout out to Nick Robles who worked on that. Victor and Nora, another great DC Kids book. Shout out to Isaac Goodhart. Deceased, Canto Volume 2, Darby, White Ash, and The Green Lantern Volume 2. There were a lot of really good comics this year.
This was a good year for comics.
What are some of your also-rans, Mr. Anman?
So I only wanted to select one because this was a good year for comics. And I'll be honest with you, this was a good year for a lot of
art.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on in 2019 that everybody was like, 2020 is going to be the year. I really want to give a big shout out to a book. The one I want to talk about in honorable mentions is a book that I think is constantly getting overshadowed. But I hope to God they make a deluxe edition of this book because I want to buy it as soon as possible. And I want it in a hardcover. And that is Far Sector by N.K. Jemisin. It is, I would say, probably the best DC ongoing book being published by that company right now. It might be the best ongoing superhero comic book being published right now. It is very progressive, but also it does something with Green Lantern that you don't see often, and it's creating a truly original sci-fi story with Green Lantern, and that's something you don't see that often. But it's Far Sector is like the next level of comic books. It's so good.
They also have some of the best covers, like consistently in the game. Jason and
also, she has the coolest Green Lantern costume design of all time.
Yeah, Jason and I joke and we call her Janelle Monáe Green Lantern. We know that's not the character name, but she looks like Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe looks cool as hell. That's a compliment.
Exactly.
but it's a book that I don't see enough people talking about, so I want it. My honorable mention goes solely to Far Sector.
Hell yeah, excellent choice.
All right, let's move on into movies. Now, this is going to be very interesting, Ashley, because not a lot of movies came out in 2020.
Yeah, the list that I consulted were obviously written by a lot of film journalist types who have access to screeners and festival offerings that I didn't have as much access to. I saw a lot of movies come out this year that I enjoyed, but if I was looking in terms of like overall filmic qualities, for me, there was only one choice.
Okay.
And this is the Netflix original movie, The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yeah.
Double Aaron Sorkin offering, starring Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Sacha Baron Cohen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Keaton, Frank Langella, Eddie Redmayne, Mark Rylance, and a slew of mostly other white guys. The film follows the Chicago 7, a group of anti-Vietnam War protesters charged with conspiracy and crossing state lines with the intention of inciting riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. It's mostly just their trial and then flashbacks to the events that are being discussed or blown out of proportion over the course of the trial based on real events. Social justice has been a hot button topic this year, as it very damn well should have been. And I think this movie, look, I am an unapologetic Aaron Sorkin fan.
Me too.
So I was going to be in on this. And then you throw in like Mark Rylance, one of my all time favorite actors, Sacha Baron Cohen, who I think is an underrated genius.
Don't forget Frank Langella.
Frank Langella playing maybe the most despicable character he's ever played. Everyone on this, there is an actor who I'm not going to name, but there's an actor who stars in this movie who I am not a fan of. And I think this is some of his best work. Everyone in this
firing in all cylinders
is just crushing it. This is not a story that I was familiar with, so I learned a lot. We bought Abbie Hoffman's book based on
Steal This Book.
Yep, based on his appearance, played by Sacha Baron Cohen in this movie. I just think this movie has a lot to say, and then I think from a creative perspective, it does a really good job at showing how you can do something mostly in a static location and still make it incredibly, incredibly dynamic. And honestly, based on everything else I've seen this year, and I have things in my also-rans, I just think this rises to the top. I think this is like unquestionably the best movie I've seen of the year. And obviously my original film intake for movies came out this year has been much lower than well, in a typical
and of
year.
Course, and of course, this was supposed to be a theatrical release, and then yeah. Netflix bought it up.
And shout out, thank you Netflix mm-hmm. for bringing this to mm-hmm. us because mm-hmm. I loved it. So,
it was really good.
Jason, what's your movie of 2020?
Oh,
the
Ashley,
Invisible Man.
Ashley, when I thought about movies of 2020, one movie rose to the top. Let's say he rode to the top. I am, of course.
My name is John Bronco.
Yeah, John Bronco. I'm calling John Bronco the best movie of 2020, baby. And this is the song from the end of John Broca. John Bronco. John, I said Bronco.
John Broca.
John Broken.
Listeners, you don't even know. They were giving away albums, and Jason and I tried so hard to get one, and they wouldn't give us one.
They're getting LPs. So John Bronco is, of course, a Hulu original movie. It is the unbelievable story of the rise and fall and ultimate redemption of the legendary pitchman for the Ford Bronco. It was directed by Jake Szymanski and written by Mark Gilbar, starring the amazing and the astounding Walton Goggins. This also has a murderer's row of comedic talent.
Yes, yeah.
But it is sort of a mockumentary-style movie about this ultimate 60s, like, Think the Marlboro Man, think John Wayne, and it's this fake story about how Ford Bronco was so inspired by this car racer guy named John Bronco that they designed a car about him, and then this dude became like the most famous man in the world. And Walton Goggins plays it to perfection. It is one of the best mockumentaries I've seen in the year. And again, just like Super, I think you're going to see with all of my choices that this came at just the right time mm-hmm. in 2020 that it like brought me so much joy. Just, I saw this trailer and I was in from Flynn because like the opening gag of the first trailer was, it was Walton Goggins just in a cowboy outfit staring dead in the camera and being like, meat and potatoes feed my body, but a Bronco feeds my soul. And right from there, I was like, I am in like Flynn and I'm in this movie. It's only on Hulu. It's about 50 minutes long.
It's short, yeah.
It's a short movie. They even recorded, like I said, this giant song. If you follow their accounts, they have these amazing fake posters. Because again, they're creating this whole like
mythos,
this
yeah.
whole 40-year mythos about this crazy guy called John Bronco. And to be honest with you, I thought every moment of it was astounding. I thought it was great. It came from nowhere. It won a lot of prizes at some film festivals. And while I enjoyed the Trial of the Chicago Seven, I thought it was astounding writing. Trial of the Chicago Seven is on my honorable mentions.
It's a bit of a downer.
It is.
It's a sad.
It just for me, like John Bronco was like the
you don't have to explain it.
Such the grab of amazing originality, and that's. That's what I wanted. John Bronco, it's on Hulu. It's only on Hulu. Go watch it. If it's 45 minutes, you will laugh your ass off.
Also, if you are a patron at one of the levels that gets you access to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, we talked about this movie extensively. Jason played, I believe, almost the entire song.
I did play the entire
song. Over the course of the episode.
So, Ashley, what made it to your honorable mentions?
John Bronco is in my honorable mentions.
Ah, yeah.
I joked
hold
about
on,
him.
Hold on. There's the perfect. Hold on. Yeah!
Listen to that ricochet. Invisible Man, which I joked about earlier, which was the first movie I ever saw at a drive-in.
Invisible Man was good.
I thought it was really, really good. Two movies that I enjoyed this year, but I don't necessarily think are like Academy Award level filmmaking, was Gretel and Hansel, which came out in February. It is so underrated for how good it was. If it had been like an A24 movie, people would have been obsessed with it.
Did that not come out the beginning of this year?
January. Okay. Alice Creech and Sophia Lillis as a creepy telling of the classic fairy tale. It is
She's Gretel,
really
right?
Really cool. Yeah. She turns into a witch in the end. Spoiler alert, it's great. And then I also fully purchased and watched The Craft Legacy, which I thought was, I loved it. Like as someone who like unapologetically loves witch things, I was like, this is a more than worthy sequel to The Craft. Okay. And I don't think it got the love that it deserved. But like those movies, kind of like I think what John Bronco did for you, just like brought me a lot of
it's
joy.
All good. It's all good.
So
it's
those
all good.
Are my also rants. How about you?
The only honorable mention that I want to mention is it's a movie that really connected with me and it recently just came out on Netflix, and that's called Mank. Mm-hmm. And that is the David Fincher film that was written by his deceased father, which I think is also, but it's about the telling of Mank, the screenwriter who wrote Citizen Kane, and his fight for the rights against, who? Orson Welles. Couldn't pull his name for a second there.
I was like, don't ask me the studio. I think it's MGM.
Yes. But it was really, I thought it was fantastic. It was a nice analogy for fighting power. And I thought there was a lot in there. And I love that they made it in the old 1930s style. I think it's one of the best films, just most well-crafted films and well-crafted scripts I've seen in quite a while.
There you go.
So, all right. Now let's move into comic book movies. Although
we're going to put a huge caveat on this.
We do have a caveat. Ashley, what's that caveat? You love the caveat.
At the time of this recording, because we are going to take a couple days off to just do nothing, we have not seen Wonder Woman 1984.
Yes.
And Jason and I fully expect Wonder Woman 1984 to win this category,
mm-hmm.
but we have not seen it, and we are not recording this after it comes out.
No, yeah.
So
the huge caveat is that, and I know listeners will be listening to this after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's our plan to
take a vacation. Yeah. This year. And by a vacation, I mean not do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Take several days off.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, there was no way to record this podcast and also see Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
So
what we're going to do instead mm-hmm. is during a topic that's coming out in a couple weeks, it might be the next episode after this one, actually.
Go ahead and give it away.
We're doing a lesson on Cheetah. So the geek history lesson for our Cheetah episode.
You know what that needs? A celebratory gunshot.
With an excellent ricochet. Our geek history lesson extra for that will be the Wonder Woman 1984 yeah. review. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that movie, that is where you're going to find it. So you got to hold your horses for like another week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So with Wonder Woman off the table, for me, it's New Mutants. Because Jason and I are the only people in the world who enjoyed this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. Five young mutants just discovering their abilities while held in a secret facility against their will, fight to escape their past sins and save themselves. This movie, we all know, was in production and one company eating another hell for a long, long time.
This movie was filmed in 2010, I believe.
I don't really, not quite. I don't really understand
2002. That's great.
Why this movie was held as long as it was.
I don't either.
I would have loved to have seen a sequel or a trilogy from these young actors, but obviously that's not going to happen. A lot of them have become much bigger stars in the interim, but this movie I'd always heard billed as a YA horror movie. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple breakout stars, Maisie Williams and Anya Taylor-Joy, freaking crush it like always, no surprise there. And Lockheed is in it. So this is another movie that Jason and I saw at a drive-in experience.
Well, yeah, this was the Disney drive-in.
Yeah.
It actually was better than the drive-in.
Yeah. They had bigger, fancier screens.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this. And the whole time I was like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they just release this movie? I really like this. And like I said, I really wish this had come out closer to when it was originally supposed to, because
me too.
I do think they could have done something really cool with this cast and this group of kids. But I like New Mutants. If you've been holding off on it, I would highly recommend checking it out digitally, because it is way better than some people who expected this to be the MCU, because it is fully not that, would have you believe on the internet. And I think it's a worthy addition to the X-Men canon. And I would put it in the top half of X-Men movies. Honestly, there are official X-Men movies I like way less than this. So yeah, for me, it's New Mutants, and my also ran is like ?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, there was only like four
or
three comic movies released in 2020.
All right, so tell me yours, Jason.
Okay, so I'm using a double caveat. So there was not a lot to choose from here.
There was not.
So I'm using an exception because this is 2020 and this was a weird year.
Yes, that's fine.
My best comic book movie of 2020 is Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Okay, so Jason sort of explained this to me, and he said, I picked something that was a movie and then made into a comic book,
yeah,
and my brain couldn't figure it out. So, okay.
So
I will allow it.
The reason why I'm only allowing this into this category is because Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventures is a very famous and very beloved, even by myself, Evan Dorkin comic throughout the 90s. In fact, this year, Evan Dorkin did a sequel called Bill and Ted Are Doomed to that adventure. I love that comic book series. And to be honest with you, I kind of even when all the comic book movies were supposed to release this year, I was already leaning towards Wonder Woman as being my favorite.
Yeah.
So, like, this is me saying I'm pretty certain Wonder Woman was going to be my favorite. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed New Mutants, you know, and I didn't much enjoy the rest of the movies that came out this year. So Bill and Ted Face the Music as being a post-comic book movie and also having a strong comic book legacy is my best comic movie of 2020, directed by Dean Parasot, screenplay by Chris Matheson, Ed N. Solomon, the original writers of the other two Bill and Ted movies, which I think is cool as hell. The synopsis is, the ruler of the future tells best friends Bill and Ted they must compose a new song to save life as we know it, but instead of writing it, they decide to travel through time to steal it from their older selves. Meanwhile, their younger daughters devise their own musical schemes to help their fathers bring harmony to the universe. Now, we did a whole Bill and Ted episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of my favorite episodes of this entire year. It was really good. We talk about Bill and Ted Face the Music. We reviewed Bill and Ted Face the Music. Bill and Ted Face the Music, not perfect, but to me, it was exactly what it needed to be. And I thought it was a fun movie. And that's why it's my best comic book movie. I won't really talk about it that much here because it's not quite a comic movie. You know, But this was my exception, as I told you.
I think that's fine. I think that's totally fine.
Also, I just want to remind everybody, if you like our movie talk here, we're getting ready to go into television, but our Geek History Lesson Extra episode over at patreon.com/Jawan will be talking about the best TV scenes of 2020 because there was so much good stuff. So go over there, support this free podcast, and you can get yourself some more content, including a new podcast coming soon called Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League. What is that going to be? Well, it might be about John About Justice League. Find out soon. Your support makes a big difference, and it keeps this podcast free to you and helps support us. So patreon.com/Jawan. And thanks to all the super friends over there that already do help us. And speaking of TV, talking about the best TV of 2020.
Yeah.
This was maybe, besides comic movies, the hardest category.
This was the hardest category for the opposite reason, because there was a ton of excellent television. I have like 12 also-rans.
Can I give you my theory of that?
Sure.
I don't think there was any more excellent television produced in this year than any previous year.
I mean, TV is just better, and yes, we've been watching.
No, what I think it was is that because people were staying inside, and also because there were not a lot of basically no movies were released, mm-hmm, comparatively.
Yeah.
I think it allowed people to find things, mm-hmm, that they wouldn't have found in a normal year.
Well,
because you were busy watching sports or busy watching movies or whatever.
My choice and then several of my also-rans are things that you and I were like, oh yeah, we'll watch that, or like we'll check out the pilot, and then we wound up binging the entire thing this year. So, yes.
What's your best TV of 2020, Ashley?
So I think this is a first for Ashley. I did not go back and check. I could have, but I did not. I think this is my first comedy that I am putting on my best television of 2020. This is a show that Jason and I watched every season of this year, and we decided we were going to catch up to when the final season dropped on Netflix, and then I think we beat it by a couple weeks.
We did beat it.
And that is Schitt's Creek season 6. Schitt's Creek is a good Canadian show by the Levies, and I didn't know anything about it, even though so many people in our lives were like, you have to watch this. You guys are going to love it. You have to watch this. You're going to love it. And we finally watched it this year. It is a sitcom about a wealthy couple who suddenly find themselves completely broke, and with one remaining asset, a small town they own called Schitt's Creek. They must give up the life as they know it and move in with their adult children. And this season is the summary of everything that came before it. And you probably know the image of Dan Levy's character. He gets married in the finale. It's called Happy Ending.
Spoilers.
I mean, it was the whole marketing campaign was their wedding.
I know, but still.
That was the only thing I knew about the show, was that they got married. So I don't think that's a spoiler. It won the Emmy for pretty much everything this year, and pretty much everyone in the show won. Catherine O'Hara finally getting the recognition that she deserves and becoming a giant internet meme this year. And this show brought me a lot of joy, and it brought me a lot of pride in Canadian content, which is something...
It's a very Canadian show.
It is, yeah. But it's something that... it's Canadian without making fun of being Canadian, which is a difficult line to walk.
I agree.
Particularly in things that hit big in America. So this show, I think we've seen shows that maybe are better dramatically or deal with bigger themes, but this is the show that brought me the most joy this year and made me the happiest. So I'm kind of following your John Bronco rule. Like I'm so glad that we had 6 seasons to watch this year.
I would say,
and Jason's favorite Christmas episode of all time.
It is my favorite. Well, I don't know if I'd say that, but it's one of the best Christmas episodes of all time. You know, you are correct. Like, there are shows, I would say there are comedies that are way funnier than mm-hmm. Schitt's Creek. Like, Schitt's Creek, but it's the combination of the comedy and the drama that makes it this its own interesting
and
thing.
And it's the characters, I think, ultimately. Like, yeah. It is very satisfying to see where they all end mm-hmm. up. And there's another comedy that's on my also-rans list that wrapped up this year, but Schitt's Creek made me happier.
Nice.
The other one made me cry too much. So, Jason, what is your best television show of 2020?
You know, it's funny because this is a show that came out very early in the year. Mm-hmm. It finished very early in the year. I think it finished completely pre-pandemic almost. And a lot of people forgot about it. And then when I went back and kind of reread through the season and what happened, I easily was like, yeah, this is number one. No doubt. And I think I've named this series a best of in previous years.
Yep.
Better Call Saul is the best show of 2020.
We always go, oh yeah, that came out in February yep. because it always comes out in the beginning of the year. It always, kind of starts out the TV season.
It always ends before the end of March.
Yeah,
so you're like, ah.
Yeah.
But so Better Call Saul follows the transformation of James Jimmy McGill, a former con artist who is trying to become a respectable lawyer, into the personality of the flamboyant criminal lawyer Saul Goodman, a play on the phrase, it's all good, man, over a 6-year period prior to the events of the very famous series Breaking Bad. Now,
of which you are also a fan.
I am a fan. But here's the reason why Better Call Saul made it to the top of my list this year. This is the season that concretely mm-hmm. and definitively for me proved that Better Call Saul is the better show of the two. Better Call
People
Saul
are screaming into their iPhones.
I do
right
not care.
Now.
Better Call Saul with this season is now better than Breaking Bad. And to be honest with you, that is very exciting because there's still another season of Better Call Saul left.
I just want to say that I think the show gets done so dirty. I think Rhea Seehorn doesn't get...
Well, I was going to talk about Kim. Yes.
Celebrated. Like, she wasn't nominated this year.
No, which is
a effing crime.
It's a criminal act, and I'm filing papers against the Academy right now.
Yes, because she is so wonderful. But this is another show where... everyone in it is so good. Patrick Fabian rocks.
Well, the interesting thing about it is that this is almost a film noir show.
Mm-hmm.
It really is because it's hard-boiled crime. But then the interesting thing about it is that it's literally about just a bunch of people trying to survive. And because the system is so corrupt, you have to become a criminal to survive. And it's so... interesting. This show is so hard to put into a genre because you can't really call it a lawyer show, even though it starts with lawyer, because there's so many moments where like you're literally laughing out loud as much as you would at Schitt's Creek at mm-hmm. Better Call Saul. There are moments between Kim and Jimmy, the two main characters, the main couple of the show, that are adorable and sweet.
Here's another spoiler: another season with a wedding.
Where was the wedding in this season?
Kim and Jimmy get married this
Man,
season.
You are throwing spoilers all over the place. Listeners, I apologize. Dear Lord.
I don't.
Stop spoiling everything. So, you know, but the interesting thing about this is that there's an amazing score. There's amazing music choices. And Better Call Saul had an episode this season called Bagman, mm-hmm. which is... I think one of the greatest episodes of television that has ever been produced. It's basically Bob Odenkirk walking through the desert for 55 minutes, and it is fantastic.
Watch the behind the scenes of that. There's like a little clip that is available online.
Yep.
And look for the person, the poor PAs in charge of giving everybody water.
Yep.
And look for the snake wrangler.
Yes. And we also, like, an amazing thing about Better Call Saul is that even though the show is called Better Call Saul, it really is just as much about Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the secret journey of, like, what we always wondered from season one, what was going to happen to this character. And now that we've gotten to the end of season five, we're like, oh, no. When we see that final scene of season five, now you're almost like... I don't think we're going to like the answer of what happens to her.
Yeah.
And we always kind of knew that, but this season confirmed that you're like, oh, it's not going to be a happy ending for her. And that's almost tragic and sad.
It's whether or not she's still alive is the big question.
Careful with the spoilers, Ashley.
No, we don't. There's no spoilers. We fully don't know yet.
I know. But we also have to talk about, we cannot talk about Better Call Saul without Mike. I cannot remember the actor's name.
Jonathan Banks,
great actor from his, he also had an amazing worthy of the Emmy performance as
well. Absolutely, yeah.
Better Call Saul, while not as sexy as Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
it's smart and it has an emotional realism that many other people. Plus, you cannot talk about Better Call Saul without talking about Tony Dalton, Lalo.
He's so good.
He has scene-stealing performances, and I'll put it on this. It will be a crime if he's not nominated for an Emmy next season.
Michael Mando also really holds it down as not. Everyone in the show is freaking good.
Better Call Saul is my best television show of 2020.
There you go. What are some of your also rants? Because I have 100.
I have a couple. One I want to talk about. I think the show finished this year, most of it aired in 2019. Mr. Nobody. It's an Australian show that was on FX. Very brilliant. I watched all of it this year. The Boys season 2, better than season 1. Really became a favorite show. Schitt's Creek is an honorable mention that I thought I loved it just as much as you. Queen's Gambit is a great show that I really loved. I haven't seen it yet, but every other season of this show is great. I'm certain The Expanse season 5 is just as excellent as the other seasons.
Okay, so Doom Patrol season 2, great. Crown season 4, great. Yellowstone season 3, great. Queen's Gambit. We watched both seasons of Umbrella Academy. Season 2 came out this year. Surprisingly great. The Good Place season 4 wrapped up this year. I cried the entire finale. Better Call Saul, of course. What We Do in the Shadows season 2. The final season of BoJack Horseman wrapped up this year.
Very early.
Highly recommend checking that out. And then I'm so thrilled to scream at the top of my lungs about how great Star Trek Lower Decks is.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that one.
We know
deserves to be on this list.
We know Mike McMahon, so it could not be the best of, but I was so...
We should try to get him on the show when season 2 comes back.
We absolutely should.
Yeah. That'd be a fun one to do.
That show is so much better than I ever thought possible, and I think it's so funny. And yeah, like Star Trek Lower Decks, if that's the one that you're sleeping on, because some people are,
because it's a cartoon
of the new Trek,
it's a cartoon.
You are doing yourself a disservice. It is, the jokes are so funny. The salt monster joke that's in all the trailers kills me every time.
I don't want to rate all the Star Trek series.
No.
It might be the best one of the new batch.
It's definitely my favorite.
You know.
So there you go.
It's really good.
There was so much good TV. We said this at the beginning of the pandemic. Anybody who was worried that there was not enough content this year was foolish.
Crazy.
There was so much excellent, excellent content.
Speaking
this
of
year.
More content, let's talk about books.
Woo!
Prose books. The ones with pictures. Now, this one
the ones without pictures.
Yes, the ones without pictures. You are correct. We already talked about the ones with pictures.
How do you read this? There's no pictures.
So this one, of course, we allow books that obviously were published before this year because books are long. Simple as that.
Sure.
Ashley, what's your book of 2020?
My best book of 2020.
Or the best one you read.
Was published, I think, in the 60s.
Oh, boy.
And that is The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin. I went back and forth a lot about whether I was... I've done, like many people, and like many white people, I've done a lot more social reading this year, a lot more political reading this year. And that can be a bit of a slog, and it can be a bit of a bummer. I read The Color of the Law this year, which is, it's homework. It is reading a textbook. It is worthy of being read, but like, it's definitely homework. And I put The Fire Next Time on here because James Baldwin, probably most famous, you can watch this on Amazon for his documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. I know that that's not a word that we use, but that is the title of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was a poet. He was a playwright. He was a beautiful artist. And The Fire Next Time is a series of essays about being black in America, specifically in the New York boroughs in the 60s. About meeting with other leaders like Elijah Muhammad and what they've accomplished and Malcolm X and his sort of thesis on how you should go through this world. And because James Baldwin is a poet, it reads like poetry. It is such a quick, beautiful read. And even though you're learning a lot and you're dealing a lot with very like heavy topics, I think the way it's presented just elevates it above a lot of its like peer texts from that time into the modern day. And as a result, I went and read a lot of Baldwin because I never read James Baldwin in my education, my formal education. I know a lot of people have, but this was one of the first books of this type that I took on this year after the events of George Floyd's death. And I think it's probably the thing that stuck with me the most and the most worthy. And then because my other favorite thing that I read this year was written by a friend of mine. And so staying by the rules, I couldn't put on the list. So I'll talk about it in the also-rans. But yeah, James Baldwin's Fire next time. I talked about it in our Black Heroes Matter episode as well. I believe it's part of our recommended reading. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't check it out then, check it out now. Obviously, it's been around for a minute, but I think it still slaps, as the children say.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ashley, what would you say to any listener that might be listening and saying that, like, I only like to consume content that makes me happy, and why should I bother reading this book that's going to make me think and make me feel like homework?
I would say this one doesn't feel as much like homework, but I would say that The Fire Next Time you should consume and you should spend some time with, because it will make you a better person and will make you think about things differently. And ultimately, that's going to lead to a better world, which will make all of us happier.
I agree.
Plus, it's a short read. It's like 200 pages.
I agree with that sentiment. I almost think it's a must read in the modern world.
Yeah. Especially if you are not a person of color. I think it's definitely worth your time.
Well said.
All right, Jason. What is your best book of 2020?
Well, luckily, Hulu published The Musings of John Brock. No, they did not. Can you imagine they did? I would buy 50 copies. That would be the only gift I give out
for the
rest of my life.
You know, Hulu, you could hire Jason to write that for you.
Oh, I could write that in my sleep.
I know you could.
The book that I read this year and is clearly like one of the best books I've read in a long time, it was actually published in 2018, so it's pretty close. I actually saw it online. It was recommended by Benjamin Percy, Green Arrow writer and X-Force writer currently, and it was a birthday gift from Ashley this year.
Woo!
It is The Overstory. The Overstory is a novel by Richard Powers. It is Powers' 12th novel. It is a novel about five trees whose unique life experiences with nine Americans bring them together to address the destruction of forests in our modern world. If you want to know how powerful this book won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 2019.
Wait, Jason, trees like plants?
Yes. This is a book. This is a story of humans told from the perspective of trees. And I tell you that when you read this book, you will look at trees differently. It is astounding. It is such a hard book to describe because everybody's lives are different. This book also is 1,000 pages. It is a lengthy read. It took me like 2 months to read this book. But I will tell you, I enjoyed every single bit of it. There is a storyline about a girl who leaves college because she hears a calling to go help trees. There is a story about a boy who makes sculptures out of wooden discarded tree limbs and how his story connects to this. There is the story of the one chestnut tree in Ohio that survived the chestnut plague of the 19th century and the family that is like dedicated themselves to, no matter what, we got to make sure that tree lives.
Isn't there also a story about an immigrant or an immigrant family?
There's a story about a Chinese immigrant who also, I can't remember the type of tree that he brings, but it's the idea that he brings this tree to America into San Francisco. And it's the idea of like how hard it is to get the tree through customs. Mm-hmm. And then it's about how his daughters keep trying to keep that tree alive.
Mm-hmm.
Is fascinating. And it also talks a lot about the modern lumber industries and how like how brutally sometimes they just take down forests.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of it is this idea about talking about how these trees have been around, some of these trees in our world have been around for almost 1,000 years, and they're going to be around for 1,000 years past us.
Mm-hmm.
And that to them, we look like flashes in the night. It is fascinating. If you want to read a book, kind of like James Baldwin's book, but in a more narrative manner that will break your brain, The Overstory is that book. I'm telling you, this is a book. This might be the book for the rest of my life that when somebody's like, what's a good book? I'm going to be able to say like The Overstory.
Mm-hmm.
It does not disappoint. And the only factor to making it hard to read is just the length.
Sure.
But it is.
But you know what? A lot of us have nothing but time right
now.
Yeah,
it is. It is so well written. It is astounding. I totally understand why it won the Pulitzer. It is. It is one of the most amazing books I've ever read in my entire life. The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Nice.
Yeah. Ashley, what made into your honorable mentions?
So my honorable mentions, I already mentioned The Color of the Law. If you don't know what redlining is, read that. I also read Battle Royale at the beginning of this year,
yeah,
and I really enjoyed that. It was not maybe the mood I was hoping for, okay, in 2020, but I definitely enjoyed that. I read Full Moon in Leo this year, which is a romance novel written by our friend Brooklyn Ray, which I really enjoyed. And then my friend Amina May Safi published a book this year called This Is All Your Fault. And it follows the story of four teenagers who work at a fictional bookstore in Chicago, and they learn that it's closing, and so they do their best to try and keep it open. I really, really loved that book.
Nice.
I think it's very, very sweet, but like I said, can't put Friends on our list.
Sure.
We're trying to be fair, uh-huh, but I definitely love that. Check that out. I think that's her fourth or fifth book.
The only honorable mention I was going to talk about is I also read Hillbilly Elegy.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed as well, which is, I haven't seen the movie. I've heard reviews of the movie. I know a couple of people that have watched the movie. It sounds like the book is quite better.
There you go.
So I would go read the book. It's a fascinating look at rural Ohio.
Look, we always advocate for checking out the source material.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next category is podcasts, yes. I believe.
Yes, Ashley. What podcast, not created by a friend of ours,
yes,
made it into your best of 2020 podcast? And let's, speaking of 2020, talk about the year everybody made a podcast.
Yeah.
Every celebrity made a podcast this year.
Yeah. Really glad that they're taking listeners and advertisers away from the people who've been doing it for almost a decade.
Yep.
Or longer than that. Yep. Sure, I'm glad about that. That's okay. It's fine. Everybody, that's the great thing about new media. There are no gatekeepers. Everybody, if they want a swing, they can have a swing. But who's going to keep making podcasts next year when the pandemic lifts a little bit? Your old friends at Geeky History Lesson who've been here for 7 years.
Yeah, that is.
That's the interesting thing to me. Just like everyone adopting animals, who's going to keep these podcasts going once things sort of shift back to what we're used to?
Less than half.
Yeah.
Less than half of those podcasts are going to stop.
Look, last year I was mad at Conan O'Brien. At least Conan beat them all by about a year.
That's true. And he's still going.
He is still going. My favorite podcast of this year is, I guess you could call it a true crime podcast, but it's a little less murdery than my usual true crime podcast. It's called the Fatal Voyage Podcast.
It's not something you hear often. You're like, you know, I like this podcast, but it could use some more murder.
No, I'm not saying that. I just mean it's like not, it's not about murders, yeah, but it's
what
about.
What was the name of your podcast? I'm sorry.
About death. It's called the Fatal Voyage Podcast.
Okay.
They have three seasons, and it is about three very public figures who died in transit. So the first season is about Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood was thrown over a boat by her evil husband.
Yes.
I will say that. I know that's not been proven, but I'll say that. And then the second season is about Princess Diana. And then the third season is about the death of John F. Kennedy Jr.
We're getting a phone call from Natalie Wood's evil husband. Should I hang up? I'm going to hang up.
Sure. I'm not going to say his name because he's evil. But it is a really, really, does a really, really good job, I think, at presenting the stories from a journalistic perspective. They definitely come down on each case with who they think is the person responsible, and they have good evidence to back it up. It's definitely up to you whether or not you believe that or not.
How many episodes are in the season usually?
Don't worry about it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
I
want to say 10, but okay, it might be less than that. It might be 6 or 8. I don't know.
I was just curious if it was like a serial type podcast, you know, like where there's like 10.
Yes, it's like that.
Or is it most like half the year?
Well, it's more like serial. But so I really enjoyed that because I think it's one of the most well-researched podcasts that I've listened to this year. And yeah, I was really interested in the Diana story leading up to The Crown season 4 this year. And then I found myself listening to everything else. And I hope that they continue making podcasts in future. And I think that they did a good job at true crime in particular is very flooded right now in the podcast world. And I think they did a good job at finding like a framing device and a perspective that is different than just, we're going to tell you another horrible murder this week. And don't get me wrong, I love those types of shows too.
That is interesting. That's an interesting way to frame it.
Yeah. So there you go. Fatal Voyage Podcast, 3 seasons. Check it out. Jason, what's your podcast of the year?
Well, my podcast, and is a character that I've known for a very, very long time, for about 5 years now, and has appeared on certain podcasts, and I've loved, and Earwolf finally gave him his own podcast. And I am talking about Bonanas for Bonanza with Andy Daly, Maria Bamford, and Matt Gourley. So Andy Daly has had this character on Comedy Bang Bang called Dalton Wilcox. He's the self-described poet laureate of the West. And he has decided to rewatch the classic TV show Bonanza with country music legend Mutt Taylor and biblical home and garden accessories entrepreneur Amy Sleverson. They always watch a guest. They watch an episode. They force people to watch old episodes of Bonanza, the classic TV show, over YouTube. And he always starts every episode with, "Hello, friend, come on in. The gate is open wide." And they always shoot guns. Dalton Wilcox is a character that I've enjoyed on Comedy Bang Bang for a very, very long time. And it is no doubt that he is a big inspiration for Tex Willerman, like Tex Willerman, the character on this show. I guarantee you, Dalton Wilcox was in my mind when I came up with that joke.
Because you've loved him when he was on the podcast pilot project.
Well, that's where Dalton Wilcox started, yes. The idea or the... The idea that, like, they spend half of the podcast not talking about Bonanza, and then they're always like, "Ah, hell, we didn't talk about Bonanza," and then they talk about Bonanza. And the fact that their guest selection has been very interesting. They've started their second season in this year. I was worried they were only going to get one season, but luckily I think enough people listened to it, or Andy Daly just doesn't have anything else to do, so they decided to do a second season. And I kind of hope this podcast continues, because the ongoing gag of it is that Bonanza, I think, has 423 episodes total. Mm-hmm. It ran for like 15 seasons, and they always make the joke that when they count another one off, they're like, "Oh man, there's only 402 more episodes to talk about. What a shame." And to be honest with you, I weirdly hope they get to do all 402 episodes, although realistically, I know they won't. Mm-hmm. But the gag of that is very funny, and it's quite delightful. If you want to hear a bunch of crazy cowboys talk about a crazy 60s television show, you're going to laugh your ass off. Bonanas for Bonanza.
There you go. By the way, Fatal Voyage podcast, 12 episode seasons.
Cool.
So slightly longer than this year.
Any honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions this year are the Smartest Man in the World podcast, which is Greg Proop's podcast. I've loved that podcast for a long, long time. It is typically recorded on the road, and I think he has done a really wonderful job at incorporating to recording at home in the Porpoise of Fruititude, as they call it, with his wife, Jennifer. So I've enjoyed that they're continuing to produce content in a smart way this year. This year, The Black Tea premiered, hosted by my favorite drag queen, Lucy Stuhl, and they do a great job as well, very funny. And then I've also been enjoying True Crime Garage, which is much more of those one murderer a week type true crime podcast.
We knew there was going to be a true...
knew there was going to be a
listeners
murder.
Listeners know there's going to be a true crime something.
Always going to be a murder podcast. Yep. Those are my also-rans. Jason Inman, what are your also-rans?
I only have one. It's the Write Your Own Screenplay with Jacob Kruger podcast. Jacob Kruger is a screenwriter, and he's a teacher in New York. And I discovered his podcast this year because what he does is... he'll take movies and television episodes that are already out there, mm-hmm. and then he'll break them apart based on a screenwriting theme. Like, so he'll be like, "Oh, this episode of Ozark is great with theme, and I'll show you why. This episode of Game of Thrones is great with the hook. I'll show you why." He even did two episodes with Tiger King talking about why...
Because there's structure in reality television and in documentaries.
And his idea was, why did Tiger King hook so many viewers, and how you can take that type of... How can you can take what Tiger King does, even though it's a documentary, and put that in your script. For me, as in a year that I wrote a lot, it was very helpful.
He sounds like the kind of person you'd really love to have as a teacher.
I would. He does do online classes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're very expensive.
Well, but which is not saying they're not worth it.
Based on his podcast doesn't have the greatest quality. His microphone really sucks. But he just monologues.
What's his name again?
Jacob Kruger.
Jacob, you reach out to us. We'll help you with your audio issues.
But he talks for about half hour. Ron Mars, friends of the show, teaches his comic book lecture class.
Oh, cool.
But he doesn't regularly... His episodes don't release weekly. Mm-hmm. But he does put about, like, at least 20 episodes a year. Like, he did, like, at least 20 episodes this year. but very fascinating. If you're interested in writing, you're interested in screenplays, I would go check that out. The Write Your Own Screenplay with Jacob Krugler.
Amazing. So. Do you have any? That was your also ran, right?
That's
that
it.
Was your only also ran.
This was the year where I decided to give singular focus in my honorable mentions.
There you go. Okay, so now we get to our most self-indulgent category.
As the army comes, I don't know if listeners could hear the helicopter.
Yeah, they came in. They're coming to tell us their favorite Geek History Lesson.
What
episode.
The hell are you doing above me? I don't like that.
Look, I know we have a lot of service people who listen, so they are welcome anytime.
We do, but just stay away from the recording studio, guys.
Yeah, or like just walks
land
off.
Land a mile away and then take an Uber over.
There you
Come
go.
On.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, now it's we're coming to our favorite Geek History Lesson episode of 2020.
Woo!
Very interesting year for Geek History Lesson because, as we talked about, we usually try to decide the schedule based on the media coming out, and this was a year that we had to keep
the schedule out repeatedly.
Like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think I've said this on main episodes before, but usually in November, December, we make a rough skeleton and then we basically stick to it unless we forget something.
Or something gets announced that we didn't know about.
Yeah. Like that time we forgot Iron Fist was debuting.
Yep.
But it didn't matter anyway. This year, yeah, we kind of went all over the place. So it was fun.
It was interesting. Ashley, what do you think was our... What was your favorite episode of our podcast? Your favorite Geek History Lesson of 2020?
This was my favorite, and this is a fairly recent episode, because this is an episode that I had been pitching for a long time, and we didn't know how to incorporate it.
Yes.
And so we did something different with it, and we said if people liked it, we would incorporate that sort of style in future, which would allow us to do something that only has very few installments. And that is our His Dark Materials episode.
Yes.
I had so much fun teaching that. I loved our discussion. We got some sweet fan art of our demons. Mm-hmm. And
you should make a note to share that. If Jordan Dunn will allow it.
Also follow Jordan because she's a sweet baby angel. I will. I will ask her if we can.
You should ask her. Because in that lesson, Ashley and I decided, like in the rules of His Dark Materials, who our demons would be. Mm-hmm. And lovely Jordan, she drew it. And their picture is, like, she should be a professional. I hope she's a professional. Is she a professional graphic designer?
No, she is.
She should be.
She works in, I don't want to give away her
don't
life.
Don't give it away. Don't go away.
She works
but it looks
in
amazing.
She's got a real people job.
She sent it to us. And I was like, "This you should be drawing comic books. This is astounding."
So that was my favorite episode that we did this year. I thought it was
great episode.
That was really fun.
I will let the listeners know that based on the listener feedback from that episode and based on how much fun we had with that episode, that we are going to do a very similar episode on that based around the world of Dune.
Yes.
Because of that. So thank you, listeners. It allowed us to open up new avenues.
Yeah. So what was your favorite GHL of this year?
Mine is it's a subject that we had talked about several years ago,
mm-hmm.
but now because of this year and because of a certain movie that was going to release, we dive deep into the mythos. And I love this one because I got to talk about why I love this franchise. It is episode 307, James Bond, the Sean Connery films.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly picked that one because I enjoyed rewatching all the James Bond films. I enjoyed doing, and of course we haven't even finished the series because we're going to talk about Daniel Craig and whatnot. But I do love the Sean Connery films and I do love the James Bond franchise. And I love that in that episode, I truly got to talk about why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you listen back to the episode, you can hear me getting a little teary-eyed about talking about Goldfinger, which I know is weird, but that movie means a lot to me.
It's not weird.
And so
having feelings isn't weird.
No. But I'm just saying it's weird about Goldfinger.
No.
You know, talking about a movie where it's like man talk. Anyways.
Well, yeah.
I was happy. I was uncertain whether the James Bond series would work, and I think it worked spectacularly. And we haven't even finished it.
There you go.
So, for my honorable mentions, I do have more than one on this one. I thought Batman Begins with Mark Ellis was a lot of fun. We did that as a live stream, which mm-hmm. was really fun. I think bringing on Mr. Jeremy Skinner to talk about Watchmen HBO was a fun episode. I know you were not looking forward to that one, mm-hmm. but then that won you over. And then I thought the Doctor Strange special this year was really good.
My honorable mentions are the James Bond, the Timothy Dalton episode.
Oh!
Because I was very leery going into those movies and I enjoyed them a lot. And then I think we had a really fun and interesting discussion.
Yes.
Because we were like dedicated to being like, these movies are good.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. Our Jupiter Jet episode, I think, was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried that it was going to be too indulgent, but people were really positive on it.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
I was going to say, everybody listening, if you haven't listened to that episode, if you skipped it, just, and I totally understand if you skip because you're just like, why do I care about Jupiter Jet or who is Jupiter Jet? But if you really want like a nitty gritty way of like writing a comic book or how we write, that's a perfect episode to listen to.
And then I'm really proud of our Black Heroes Matter episode because
I completely forgot about that episode. That was a great episode.
That was a divergence from what we usually do, mm-hmm. but we wanted to be able to talk about something that we felt was very important going on in the world. We didn't want to do it in a frivolous way. Mm-hmm. And we were finally able to bring Brandon Marino on, who started life as a listener and has now become a friend. So I'm really glad that we did that. And I'm glad that we got a lot of really positive feedback.
Hashtag Brandon for Nightwing.
Yeah. I think he also uses hashtag Black Nightwing.
Is that what it is? Okay. Hashtag Black Nightwing.
There you go. And follow him at the Bat Marino. But that was...
He has an amazing Instagram, so go follow
him. Yeah. That was one that was kind of out there for us. And I'm really proud that we did it instead of doing nothing. So there you go.
Cool. All right. So normally this is where the recommended reading goes in. And the recommended reading will be a bunch of our choices from this yep. list of the year. And you can find that where, Ashley?
You can find that at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. And of course, we always share a couple of them. We highlight them on our socials at GHL Podcast and facebook.com/geekhistorylesson.
Yes. And the next section of the podcast is the honor roll, where Woo! If you go over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, we will read whatever you write on the podcast, because that's our thanks for you helping us in the Apple Podcast algorithm. Also, if you're an international listener, you can email us your review, a screenshot of your review at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com, because we can only see the American ones.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, who is entering the honor roll this week?
So we have two people entering the honor roll this week. First is P. Liv, who says, great way to learn about comics. Been meaning to write one of these for a while, and here I finally am. Jason and Ashley have great chemistry together, and their banter never fails to make me laugh. But not only are they funny, they're also very knowledgeable about the topics they discuss. I found this podcast while trying to learn more about comics, and I don't think I could have stumbled onto anything better. 10 out of 10 would recommend to anyone who even casually reads comics or indulges in other comic book media. While I'm here, I'd like to recommend or request episodes on Stephanie Brown and Cassandra Cain, as well as an updated Dick Grayson episode.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, P-Liv. Well, maybe miss, maybe them.
Yes.
We're trying not to offend anyone. And then also joining them is Hammy527, who says, so great. Jason and Ashley never fail to put a smile on my face.
Aww.
They're funny, very entertaining, and their chemistry is amazing. Please do more Star Wars lessons. Well, I will tell you this, Hammy, we do have a Star Wars topic coming up in the first quarter of next year. Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of flack for our Star Wars lessons because it's interesting because everybody just thinks that we're such uber Star Trek fans that we don't like Star Wars. And it's like, we like Star Wars.
Yes, people also think because we speak critically of Star Wars, that means that we don't like Star Wars. And I would point out that we speak critically of everything because, you know, anyway, thank you so much for your sweet reviews. If you want to leave us sweet reviews like P-Liv and Hammy527, please do. But also, if you're going to leave us a shitty review, at least give us 5 stars. Come on. Anyway, what's going on in the teachers' lounge for these fine folk today, Jason?
Who are the folks that are joining?
P-Liv and Hammy527.
P-Liv and Hammy are going to come in and marvel at the Snoopy wall clock that was put up into the teachers' lounge by the wonderful and former guest professor, mm-hmm. Bernadette Inman.
True.
Who is a professor
of
food technology.
There you go. Child rearing?
Yes, there you go. All right, don't forget to subscribe and listen to this podcast on everywhere that you listen. That is on Spotify, that is on Stitcher, it is on SoundCloud. It's everywhere you want to listen, it is there. And hey, in 2021, recommend this podcast to your friends if you want. We're gonna start a march. We're gonna try to do some more things to promote the podcast. We're gonna try to march to 500 super friends on our Patreon over at patreon.com/Jawan because we're closing in on our 400th and our 500th episode, and we want to get there before we get to 500th. So don't forget to follow in all of those areas over there, because the GHL Extra of this week, if you want some more content, is going to be best TV scenes of 2020. So don't forget that. Ashley, if they want to follow us and the podcast on social media, where can they do that?
They can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. And you can follow Jason on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. That's also the Patreon. Imagine
that. And now the final section, hashtag stick around, where we talk about some other things to make sure that you stuck through the plugs. Ooh. Ashley.
Jason.
Any part of my choices that surprised you? Anything in my choices surprise you?
No. No. Well, the writing podcast surprised me because I didn't know it existed. But...
I'm a very complicated flower, Ashley.
That's true. You're a dynamic human being. If people don't know this, you and I fully live together, and we've lived together for more hours this year than any years previous, so I feel like I know a lot of what you're up to. Was there anything on my list that surprised you?
You know, I think the only thing that surprised me was I was surprised the Trial of the Chicago 7 made your best movie.
Yeah.
Like, I knew you liked it. I didn't know you liked it that much because I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember having to convince you to watch it.
Yes.
But then I was like, it's Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, but it's also a movie that some movies you know you're going to go into, they're going to be a bummer.
And that was definitely one of those.
And that was definitely one of them, which doesn't mean it's not worth watching, but that has been content that's been like harder and harder to consume in 2020. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think that's why you should consume it. Difficult things make you always consider different things or different avenues.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
But yes, there is a time and a place. Like, there are certain points where you're just like, man, this is not the night for Schindler's List.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to watch 5 episodes of Avatar, you know?
And sometimes you just got to watch John Bronco on repeat for 3 days. Sure. Not saying that somebody did that.
But you could.
But you could.
If you wanted to.
And it would be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul would be overflowing.
Yes.
With cigarettes.
And
mahogany.
Short shorts.
And bourbon.
Ew.
So, what a great mixture.
Yeah.
Well, friends, that's it. The time has come to say goodbye to 2020.
Every time we do that, I go, the walrus said, to talk of many things.
What?
You don't know, the time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things.
No.
And shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
No, I don't.
It's from Alice in Wonderland. It's a very famous poem.
Oh, I'm not the biggest fan of Alice in Wonderland. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, it's got an anniversary next year, so if you want us to cover Alice in Wonderland,
Lord,
hashtag Alice in Wonderland, yes.
Don't you dare.
I did Blackest Nightclub
don't
for you.
Don't you dare.
I did Bill and Ted for you.
Don't you dare. You did those for the listeners, Ashley, not for me.
That's who I'm talking to.
Oh. Sorry.
So
you're looking right at me when you say that, so I'm just making...
Who else am I supposed to make aggressive eye contact with? The intern Brago is nowhere to be found.
He did not show up for duty today.
No,
his last job of 2020.
I'm shocked because he's a John Bronco stan, as we all know.
He is a big John Bronco fan.
Yeah.
Intern Brago loves John Bronco. Big fan.
Yeah.
I guess 2021 should be the year whether we consider to pay intern Brago. I'm going to guess the odds are little to none.
Well, this is America, and in America, you don't pay interns.
That's correct.
So I doubt it.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, I think it speaks...
He gets room and board.
It speaks volumes.
And medical. That, we pay for his medical
that
bills.
Our podcast cat didn't even show for the final recording of 2020.
How like a cat.
How like 2020. All right. Well, listeners... We want to wish you a happy new year, or we want to wish you a happy middle of the year if you're listening far in the future.
A happy do-over, because as far as I'm concerned, it's just 2022.0 next year.
This year still happened, no matter what you think about it. Take the joys, take the things you learned, and apply them to when things go back to normal next year, because very quickly, and it's going to happen to all of us, my friends, very quickly you're going to realize, oh, I should have done this, or I wish I would have done that. Don't think that way. Take the things you learned in 2020 and apply them to normal life and change your life for the better. That's what I'm going to do, and that's what I wish for you.
Well said.
And I want to thank you all for listening, because I don't take that for granted either. And I hope you listen far, far. I'm going to tell you guys, 2021 is going to be a hell of a year for Geek Extra Lesson, because some of the stuff we're doing is long-requested fan topics.
We also have some pretty cool guests.
Yes.
Lined up. People that we are very excited to have.
Yes. So thank you for listening. This has been Geek History Lesson. I am Jason. Where the hell is the intern Inman?
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
This is the only thing I have to say to 2020. Get the hell out of here.
Was it magical gunshot?
Just go with it. It's like everything in 2020. Bye.